It's about a kilometre to the wall where our unseen enemy opened the gate to Amsterdam, and with no sign of him in the vicinity, I have time to do a little bit of thinking. Looking straight up, I see only darkness, the visible stars mostly stretched in a wide belt above the horizon, the moon an evil-faced icon staring down at us. The power to suck all the life and heat out of a planet like this, it's horrifying. While a sacrificial murder will get you a hotline to a demon capable of possessing you, or a window to some universe so alien you can't comprehend its physical laws, it takes a lot of power to open a physical gate to another version of the Earth. Shadow Earths interfere with each other, and it's very difficult to generate congruence. But whatever happened here... I try to picture what might have happened. I can only come up with two scenarios. Scenario 1. An Ahnenerbe detachment in Germany, sometime in April of 1945. They know they're losing, but defeat is not an acceptable option to them. They quickly gather all the supplies they can, foodstuffs, machine tools, seeds, fuel. Using a handful of captured enemy POWs, a gate is opened to somewhere cold and airless where they can wait out the hue and cry before making a break for home. Nope, that doesn't work. How'd they build this fortress? Or mess with the moon? Scenario 2. A divergent history. A different branch of our own universe, so close to our own timeline that the energy it takes to open a full bridge between the two realities approximates the mass energy of the universe itself. The point of departure, the fork in the river of time, is an invocation the Ahnenerbe attempted late in the war, but not too late. It's an act of necromancy so bloody that the priests of Xipe Totec would have cringed in horror, so gruesome that Himmler would have protested. They opened a gateway. We thought it was just a tactical move, a way to move men and materials about without being vulnerable to Allied attack, shunt them into another world, travel across it, bypassing their enemies, then open a gateway back to our own continuum. But what if they were doing something more ambitious? What if they were trying to open a channel to one of the nameless places where the Infovores dwell, beings of near infinite cold, living in the darkened ghosts of expanded universes that have succumbed to the ancient forces of proton decay and black hole evaporation? Invoking godlike powers to hold their enemies at bay, the forces of the Red Army and the Western Allies are held in check. What happened next? Pacing through the petrified forest, I can see it as clearly as a television documentary. A wind of desolation and pain screams out of the heart of Europe, hurling bombers from the skies like dandelion seeds. A darkness rises in the west, a maelstrom that sucks Zhukov's divisions in like splinters of a shattered mast sent flying in a hurricane. The SS necromancers are exultant. Their demons harrow the earth in stolen bodies, scouring it clean of enemy forces, eating the souls of the Untermenschen and spitting up their bones. Snow falls early as Fimbulwinter sets in, for the ice giants of legend have returned to do the bidding of the Thousand-Year Reich, and the Führer's every dream shall be made real. A pale sun that warms nothing gazes down across a wilderness of ice and fire, ravaged by the triumph of the will. They only realize how badly they'd miscalculated some months later as the daylight hours shorten and shorten further, until the equinox passes, the temperature continues to fall as the sunlight dims and the giants cease to do their bidding. Gute Dämmerung has come for the victorious Third Reich. Up the low rise with the wall on the other side, I turn round and look back at the redoubt, at the last island of warmth in a cold world that's been sucked dry. I contemplate it for a minute or so. Had a thought, I say aloud, and get a burst of static in return. I look round. Chaitin is standing further up the hillside. He waves at me. More static. You there? I ask, fiddling with my radio controls. Can you hear me? He walks toward me, brandishing something. I focus on a coil of cable with a plug on the end, but as he approaches, the static begins to clear up. He pokes it at my chest pack and I bat his hand away. Speak, he says roughly. I take a deep breath. I need to make some measurements. There is something very, very wrong with this whole picture, you know? Why is it so cold? Why are our suit radios all malfunctioning? What killed everyone in that bunker? It seems to me that Alan needs to know. Hell, I need to know. It's important.